I really want to encourage you to cultivate the habit in your small group to at least once a year and perhaps twice a year to actually write down on paper what you want to grow in as a person and then individually and also as a small group to say at the end of this year, we want to see this growth. So the growth must be measurable, must be markable or measurable, and must be able to say that it's there. Just want to say, because Johan sits here, so I must quote Dallas Willard. He says growth and must be vision, intention, method or means, depending on what you want to say. So it must be something that you really want to see. Explain to me, if this thing happens, what will it look like? And someone will say, I want to have a real intimate relationship with Jesus, and go like, what does that mean? Describe that for me. How will you know if you have a real intimate? The person will say, I just have this warm feeling in the inside. They say, okay. What will give you the warm feeling on the inside? Say, if I hear Jesus every morning say to me something, then you go like, okay, excellent. So you want to grow in discernment, to discern the voice of God. That's what you're saying. I would have said something, but that's what you're saying. It's okay, cool. So to hear the voice of God in the morning. Great. Is there a scripture that you can quote with that? And she says, oh, yeah, Jeremiah 50 verse 4. Like, morning by morning, you awaken me, you awaken my ear. Okay, great. So have that scripture as a vision. Great. How will you grow? What will be your ways of doing that? So then you'll say, well, how do you grow in discerning the voice of God? What are activities that you do that eventually cultivate discernment? And it's a simple conversation. It's not that any person can say that. It's like simply just sit and wait on God, spend time in prayer, come to intercession. Three places where you will definitely set yourself aside to listen, to learn with others. Great, excellent. When will you do this? How often will you do this? How will you report to us that you're doing this? Very simple, but a practical thing, because I tell you, as a people, we are happy with where we are. I'm just saying, we only grow if we must. You only pick up the socks if your wife says, I'm leaving you, or if she says, I'm not making food anymore. Discomfort. Sadly, so there's two means. The Bible says we grow in discipline. We either are being disciplined, or we discipline ourselves. So either we discipline ourselves and cast off the weight, or we are being disciplined by God or by our community and we cast off the weight. So just want to say, the first one is obviously the better answer if you were still wondering. Do it yourself. Okay, thanks. Ek praat bietjie lank. Do you have a question on cultivating a community of growth? A small group is a place of witness, like I mentioned right in the beginning. Our relationships does witness the kingdom of God. Even if it's a bad witness, it's a better witness than a secular group of people in a pub. I want to say our community does. So, but also it witnesses something of the love of God for the community. Like I mentioned, we are the ecclesia called out once for this community by God to represent God's reign and God's intent in our community. So if you were to take Paul's definition of the kingdom, which is just one definition, he's just trying one way of summarizing the law, of saying, what would it be like if God was actually reigning here? Now, it's a dangerous question because God is reigning, but Jesus, we know, will come back and then his reign will be effected. So if Jesus, what would your community look like? And Paul said, we can see it, there will be righteousness, justice. There will be justice, equity. There will be fairness. So we know that the Guptas will have a problem with their corruption. But we also know that the 150 people I saw when I came in that walked at 7 at night rushing over the bridge to rush to their houses that earned the 150 bucks in Cape Town today, that's not fair either. Because is it fair that some people earn 150 bucks a day for 8 hours and others living a kilometer away earns 5,000 rand a day? You know, is that just? You say you want to ask questions. Is it fair? Is it just? You know, and then is there peace? Is there shalom? Is there just an open and fair relationships in our community? Where is the fighting between those who have and those who have not, and between the races, and between the languages, and between cultures? So we'll see that the kingdom of God comes and he jumps into those areas to bridge whatever there isn't. Okay, so witnessing streams of justice I want to say that scripture really messed me up for the past 5 years. You've heard me talk about that. What it says, Amos 5:28-29, it says, "Take away from me your noise and your worship in Sundays. I can't stand it," says God. "What I want to see is streams of justice flow from your community. I want to see justice. And then he says about how we pay our laborers, and about how we treat those who don't have properties, and about how we treat the foreigners. So those are the areas that he introduces. How do we take care of the widows, those that live on a no state pension, and the orphans among us? God says, that's what I want to see. I want to see them have an equal chance in the society. So your small group, I want to ask you, and then also just evangelism, witnessing as evangelism, as a proclamation of the gospel, the announcement. It's a demonstration of the gospel, but also announcement of the gospel. Think of your small group and just think, like, in which way can we cultivate an environment where we actually witness the reign of God, where it's visible in our relationships? I want to ask you a question. Jesus said that people will know that you're my disciples based on the love that they see. So two questions. How do we grow in love? And secondly, how can people see that we actually love one another? That's a question we had to ask ourselves. How on earth will people ever see that we love one another? You know, like, how can they witness our community because we just have private functions? How can they see it? That's a good question. It's like, just to think, because you are a witness, but are you, is your onere emmer? So it's a good question. And then how can it be visible? And then how can you contribute to God's reign of justice in the earth? His kingdom coming, because that's what Jesus said, let my kingdom come. Okay, God, how would it look like? So what area? And then just to ask the guys in your small group, we do this. You ask them, what area do you really, it burns on your heart? Is it the poor? Is it the orphans? Is it the widows? Is it the hospital ministry? What stirs your heart where we can actually witness? And then just to make dates, you say, okay, this small group time, we're going to go there. This one thing. Just a simple thing, not a every week thing, but just to start movement in a direction, because it does so much for you if you just get the guys. But you hear from them. You don't make a decision. You say, let's pray. Let's talk. What stirs your heart? Luckily, we have the urban church with us that got Fro and Delft with us and our ECD kids project. So we have projects that are running as a church. But, you know, one or two of the small groups just decided, no, it's all these car guards that stand until 7 at night at Cape Gate that bugs them, you know. They always smile and they're always nice and all of them are foreigners. They all come from Congo. And then they said, okay, cool. What we do when we do justice is we take hot dogs and have a conversation. Just talk to this guy who struggles to communicate with his beautiful French smile and just have a conversation with him. Don't preach at him necessarily. Don't necessarily even pray for him. Because the point is, I want you to first hear that I care about you before I hear that you must be saved. You know, it's like, see love, feel love. Anyway, so it's good things. And all of them are usually Christian anyway. They preach at you. So, and just evangelism. It's like just this thing. How can you be a witness of the gospel, partnership with the gospel, where you stay? And if you can't be, then just go with any Saturday with Anton anywhere. and but just to preach the gospel, just a proclamation. And for many people in our small groups, this step is too big, but this one gets them going. And ironically, as soon as they talk to people, Jesus comes out. So I just want to say, don't be intimidated. We grow there. Let your witness be visible. Let your witness overflow in good works, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And then the evangelism, it actually happens naturally. It's a progression. But just to think, but it's a deliberate thing, shining. Let your small group be a place of witness of the kingdom. Anyone, one question before we move on? Ons gaan nie nou kom praat nie. Ek wil ook huis toe gaan, is reg. Dankie vir julle geliefde en geduld. Anyway, the last one is just we recognize that my small group is part of the bigger church. I tell you, this is so good. So every year, let me just jump to the point here. Every member is a minister, but not just in the small group. So we use our small groups as a place to train people in ministry. And we say the core thing that we thought for a while is, how do we ever equip the saints to do the work of the ministry? Because in a student ministry, where students flow through the whole time, every 3 years we have a new church. So people are constantly being trained, and we lose those trained people, and someone else starts doing at Liberty, or someone else starts doing Legacy, or Home Encounter, or missions and stuff. But then we figured out that after a while, we've got families in our church, first of all, that struggle. Families do struggle to get to the encounters, because it's for them it's like a big thing. Either school, or just three kids, I'm going to sleep on Saturday. I don't have a babysitter for Saturday. It's just a bigger thing than for individuals. Well, I also noticed that young adults that join our church also don't see a need to jump through the encounters. But then we just figured out, but how do we ever train you for ministry? Because if you don't volunteer, you don't. And we honestly don't have to, because we've got 15 people that are really good at Legacy, so we don't really need someone else. We've got 15 people that have done it for 5 years. I mean, they can Legacy in their sleep. You walk in and they say, I've seen mother's issues, sit here with me. So we just said, but our mandate is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So then we said, okay, this is what we'll do. We've just got tokens. Let me just show you what we did. We literally have tokens. So I'm saying this is what we did, but I think it's a great idea. Anyway, so we made coupons. We look at our calendar for the year. And I'm just sharing what we do as an idea. You don't have to do it, but maybe it's a good idea to take your small group to volunteer, even if you don't have tokens in church. To think, like, don't you think it's necessary that or everyone in your small group should be able to at least know what to do when a demon speaks to them at their office next to them? Not your boss, but a demon. You know? Or in your sleep at night. Or when you're driving a taxi, you know? I think in my name, all these witnesses, all these disciples should be able to do it. So we just said, okay, so we don't have SOS, you see this, no? But there's no token, but you see it's written there. We've got SOS this weekend. But we've got tokens, and we say we have 4 encounters, 4 legacy, 2 home, whatever, our calendar for the year, and we have so many tokens, and we say 2 tokens, so we want small groups, 2 by 2, 2 small groups at a time, to come for training, to do it. We've got a few volunteers that will be there anyway, which is a good thing. It's always a good thing if you have steady hands. But then Ilana, myself, Susel, will go to a small group and actually prepare them, to equip them to do this. Because we recognize that a small group is a place of training, but it's also a place where we take ownership of the church. And we have the volunteers that do everything in church. Do you also have that? You are probably the volunteers that do everything in church, right? Julle is daai mense, ek weet. Is daar. To help people to volunteer, to do the work of the ministry. Equip them for that. So we deliberately train them. Go for 2 weeks beforehand, train them. And then this is what we brought in just now, is we recognize that training is not complete until there's a conversation at the end. How did it go? What did you experience? We didn't do that until now. So now we will do that now. Anyway, we do that. But we also say that maybe you don't want to do that, But maybe you would like to serve it at Delft, in our congregation there in the Cape Flats. They really need encouragement, or at youth, or at the kids' ministry, to bring, just to do ministry for kids. Maybe that's what your small group goes full of mommies, and we go like, I think I'd rather just be with my kids once and do a small group there. And it's like, okay, cool, take a token. We'll train you what we'll do, and then afterwards we'll debrief you. Or at a church for the homeless, so church building, not in terms of training, but in terms of serving. Or just outside the church, at a youth event, orphanage, or hospital, yeah, Durbanville Orphanage, or just to do hospital ministry. We find it's actually quite exciting if we deliberately focus on one event to train the guys for that one thing. Some people stick, some people said, I did it that once, this is not my scene. Usually what we see is that one small group takes two of the same encounter for the year to say, we want to grow in this for the year. This is something that I think we would like to grow in. But it's a real good idea to actually have intentionally, how do we build our church, but also how do we give a safe environment for our members to actually train in something that we think is relevant. Anyway, ek het gedink ek deel dit met julle. Thank you. That's what we do. 2 or 3 coupons a year for a small group. And that's a nice thing. You do nothing else. It's just those 2 Saturdays. That's it. So we don't ask you, bug you again for it. It's just that 2 or 3 times a year, we do that. It works quite well for us. Thanks. Okay. Lekker. Equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. To grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To care for my sheep. And the big one, to consider how we might stir one another to love and good works. If you've got those 5 scriptures in your head, milling in your head at any time in the next year, it will have good effect in your small group. But the idea is to cultivate an environment where this happens. To spur an environment. Start with 1 or 2 people. You don't do it all yourself. Stir it slowly. Amen.